appreciate it. Do I need to turn this on? Okay, all right. Thank you. Have a seat. All right, yeah, have a seat. Have a seat. Yeah, sit down. 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 Thank you. God bless you. All right, sit down. Sit down. All right. I understand. I understand. How many of you already checked out and you're on spring break already? How many of you already checked out in spring break already? How many of you have already checked out in your spring break already? All right, that's what I thought. Yeah, you have had just the last 2 weeks have been fabulous. You had the beautiful program that I heard about. I did not get to see it, but the program and the meal and all of that. And then you had Brother Ashcraft preach, and you had Brother Wynn preach, and you had Brother Martin preach. And now you get me. Amen. Isn't that good? All right. You know, we've had these snow days, and so a couple of days I wasn't able to make it over here. But we have with the technology now, I taught remotely. I taught from my church. And so I went in my auditorium, and I was behind my own pulpit, and we had the camera there, and it was our normal thing that we do for our church services. So I was teaching, and while I was teaching the class, my little granddaughter and grandson, Anna is 7, Spencer is 4, they came and they opened up the back door of the auditorium and kind of peeked in, and I said, come on, Anna, come on, come on, come on. So they came up. I said, say hi. Hi. And then my four-year-old grandson, he said, Papa, why are you preaching? There's nobody here. I said, I'm teaching a college class. He goes, oh, whatever. From the eyes of a four-year-old, amen? And it's wonderful. Hey, I do love this college. I love you students. I love this place. I came to this college when I was 17 years old, 2 weeks after my 17th birthday, and now I am 35. And I have been at this college for a good while, coming up on this 50-year mark, and I'm thinking, wow, I've been here almost the whole time. I'm getting old. I just can't take it. It's terrible. Someday you'll be there. 50 years from now, I'll be at the Lord, and you'll be up here preaching, some of you, and you'll be doing what the Lord has for you. It's wonderful. Now, hey, we've got spring break starts in about 20 minutes, I guess, 25 minutes. So if you'll jump in with me, we're going to jump in this message. We're going to get after it. We're going to get it done, and you're going home. Amen. Y'all not excited. They're not excited. I'm gonna jump in this thing, and for about 20 minutes, we're gonna go after it. And then you go spring break. Amen. Okay, I'll just preach an hour then, and we'll just go on. Oh, okay, all right, all right. Spring break. Luke chapter 6, the Bible says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 13, it says, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. This is Jesus, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. We read here about Jesus picking his 12 disciples. Recently, I shared some of this with the staff the other day, but recently I was in Israel, and we had an Israeli guide, and he was an Israeli Christian, born again. It's interesting that the born-again Israelis call themselves believers, not Christians necessarily. They call themselves believers and unbelievers. And he was telling us about the rabbis and telling us about the culture and things like that. And what he mentioned that caught my attention was that Jesus, he said, it was almost, unheard of. He said nobody ever, the rabbis would never choose people to follow them that was older than them. They always chose people who were younger than them to follow them. And so the rabbi would always choose somebody younger than them. Well, Jesus was 30 years old when he started his public ministry. So the disciples here were all, I mean, we don't have it specifically in the scripture, but according to what the Jews did, they would have been younger than Jesus, which meant they would have been in their 20s. And some scholars believe that John, the apostle John, was 17 when he began following Jesus as one of the disciples, which would make sense to me because he was the youngest of them, and he's the one that Jesus said he's the one that Jesus loved and all that. And the youngest one, you know, you always kind of take care of them more than you do the other ones. And so I started thinking about the disciples. These disciples of Jesus were your age. They were the same age you are. How many of you are in your 20s? Stand up. If you're in your 20s, right, stand up. Okay, you can be seated. How many of you are 17, 18, or 19? Stand up. All right, you can be seated. Now, you know, the amazing thing about this, when I started thinking about this, is that the disciples, when Jesus chose his disciples, the disciples were your age. They were your, I mean, they were the same age that you are. And when we come here to college and I'm teaching you and these other folks teach you and we're preaching to you, we are preaching to people who are the same age as the disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, that ought to encourage you. That's wonderful. You understand they wrote the scriptures. They wrote the New Testament. Do you understand that? Do you understand that they were the ones that saw Jesus walk on the water, and they were the ones that watched him feed the 5,000 one time, 4,000 another time? They saw him raise the dead. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him heal the blind. They were with him, and they did everything with Jesus for 3 years, and after those 3 years, Jesus went to be with his Father. Well, he ascended up, and he left them with a commandment, go into all the world and preach the gospel every creature. And these were the ones who started the first churches. They were the ones dealing with the doctrinal issues. These were the ones that were writing the New Testament that we have today. They were the ones that when they had a doctrinal issue, they were the ones figuring it out. And they were the ones that were the disciples. Hey, young people, you are going to be used of God not 20 years from now, but you can be used of God today, right now. You, as a young person today, you're the same age as the disciples of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, and God used them in mighty ways, and they did mighty things. Look, it was Peter that preached the 3,000, and 3,000 people were saved on Pentecost. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? Hey, young people, you don't have to wait until you're 30 or 40 or 50. You can do great things for God right now. God will use you right now. God will get, look, you know, the ones that turned the world upside down were your age. The ones who went into all the world preaching the gospel, they were your age. The ones that started the first church, they were your age. The ones that wrote much of the New Testament, they were your age. Hey, young people, it's a wonderful thing to know that you right now can serve God as a young person. You don't have to wait until you're old to do it. Amen. You can serve God right now. God will use you in mighty ways right now. You say, well, someday I'm going to serve God. No, what about today I'm going to serve God? Amen. You say, well, someday I'm going to do something for God. No, what about this weekend doing something for God? Amen. What about going up there on the weekend and going up there and getting 100 bus kids and bringing them down to church with you? Amen. Hello, anybody with me here? You don't have to wait until you're old. You say, preacher, I'll tell you what, someday I'm going to do something for God. No, do something for God right now when you're young. You know, the thing is, God chooses young people to do his work, and God chooses, and he uses us old folks too, praise the Lord. I'm glad he does, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm excited when I look at the prospects of what you're going to do in the next few years. Not the next 20 years, did you hear me? The next few years. Did you hear what I'm saying? You know what? I think sometimes I always had the idea that disciples were a little bit older, but when I started thinking about this, I'm thinking, man, these folks, they were younger than Jesus. He was 30. These were a bunch of 20. These were a bunch of college kids. Hello? Anybody with me? These were a bunch of college kids. They spent 3 years with Jesus. Somebody said, if they spent 3 years with Jesus, we got to go 4 years here. That's because they had Jesus and you have us, all right? takes us a little longer to get it to you than Jesus did. He took him 3 years, took us a little longer than that. But the thing is, I want you to understand today, I want you to get in your heart and desire and say, you know, today I am going to serve God now. I am going to do a work for God now. I am not going to wait until I'm 30. I'm not going to wait until I'm 40. I'm not going to wait until I'm 50. I'm not going to wait until later. I am going to serve God now. If Jesus could take 12 young people that were college age and turn the world upside down with them, what in the world could happen if everybody in this room got on fire for God and stir up this world for Jesus Christ? Amen? You could serve God today. You don't have to wait till later. You serve Him now. But there are just three things. I'm going to run through this quick. Three things that you look at these disciples and how Jesus took these young people and what did they do that, what caused them to turn the world upside down? Yes, Jesus chose them, but there were some things about it. First of all, they had been with Jesus. Did you hear me? They had been with Jesus. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." He said, what made it where these young guys could go out and turn the world upside down? They walked with Jesus Christ for 3 days, for 3 years they walked with Jesus Christ. They followed Him everywhere He went. They said, you're going to follow Jesus. Hey, Jesus, come here. This is Jesus. We need some disciples. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. I've skipped you. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Is that 12? Yeah, look, I teach Bible, not math, okay? So Jesus, He said, follow Me. And they followed Him. They followed Jesus. For 3 years, they went everywhere Jesus. For 3 years, they went everywhere Jesus went. He taught them. He'd stop by the wayside. He would stop by the wayside. He would stop by the wayside. Look, we didn't practice this, okay? He stopped by the wayside. He would teach them. Which one is Judas Iscariot? He would teach them. And they saw Him work miracles. He raised the dead. He raised the dead. He came down here and He made the dumb to speak. Okay. And they followed Jesus until He came. Then He was crucified and they scattered. I wonder if Jesus had this much trouble with His illustration. They're scattered. Now, we criticize them, but the truth of the matter is what if somebody came in and they, and God forbid, and please don't misunderstand, but somebody came in and took your pastor and took him out, and a lot of people would be running and hiding because of it. But then Jesus rose from the dead. He rose from the dead, and the ladies saw that He was risen from the dead. Okay. They saw Jesus.
Hey, go over
here. Here's Jesus. And they said, oh, Jesus, He rose from the dead. Jesus said, go tell My disciples. So go tell the disciples He rose from the dead. Tell them. And He said, tell them I'll meet Him in Galilee. Girls, you're supposed to tell them they made Him in Galilee. By the way, the women that followed Jesus were college age too, all right? Girls, come back. Said, you're going to meet Jesus. He's going to meet you in Galilee. So what did all the disciples except one, what did they do? Come on! One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Okay. Well, what happened? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So they went into all the world preaching the gospel. Go! And Jesus went back to heaven. Jesus went back to heaven. Preach the gospel to every creature. Now, wait a minute. All right, disciples, come on down. Come back down. Have a seat. Now, wait a minute. They did all of that, and the Bible says that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What had inspired these young men to go in the world and preach the gospel? What inspired these men to preach at Pentecost? What inspired them? They had walked with Jesus. They had talked with Jesus. They had followed Jesus. They spent time with Jesus. Hey, young people, if you're going to turn the world upside down, spend time with Jesus Christ. Walk with Him. Love Him. Read His Word. Spend time with Him. And people will be able to tell that you have been with Jesus if you've been with Jesus. These fellas here, you say, what happened? Well, how did they do this? Here's 12, 11 college guys. Here they are. And they went and turned the whole world upside down. I'll tell you what, they had been with Jesus. And I have seen it over and over through these years at this college. Young men who come here and young women who come here, and they follow Jesus, and they walk with the Lord, and they pray, and they read their Bible, and they get to know the Lord, and they seek Him. God uses them to do mighty things. Hey, you can do something mighty if you just go spend some time with Jesus. Hello. You spend time with Jesus. What happened? I got to go quick because I'm running out of time. They spent time with Jesus. Second of all, they were wholeheartedly dedicated to Christ. They spent 3 years with Him, but they were wholly and completely and totally dedicated to Christ and what He would do, and what He wanted them to do. You see, here's the thing. They weren't half-hearted with Jesus. They were wholehearted with Jesus. Let me read you something. Mark chapter 10 and verse 37. Talk about James and John. And they said unto Him, grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and one on the left in Thy glory. Now, in Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 34, Jesus had just told His disciples, He said, I'm going to be going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be turned over to the Gentiles. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be spat upon. He told all what's going to happen. He said, I'm going to be scourged. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to be buried, and I'm going to rise again. The very next thing we have is James and John. Now, we criticize them for this. And yes, they were probably envious and covetous at this. I understand that. But there's one thing that I see in this that we overlook many times is that after they said, Jesus said, I'm going to go to be turned over to the Gentiles. I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again. You understand? That's where we're going. And they said, by the way, Jesus, when you enter your kingdom, we want to be there with you. Now, did you ever stop and think about that? They had totally devoted themselves to Jesus, and no matter what was ahead of them, no matter what they were facing, no matter if it was a cross or persecution, whatever, they said, we want to serve You, Lord. We want to be on Your right. They didn't go about it the right way, but they did have the right motive in the fact that they looked at it and said, okay, You're going to go. You're going to be crucified. You're going to die. You're going to rise again. Lord, we want to sit on the right hand and the left hand in Your kingdom. We want to do this with You. They fully believed Him and followed Him. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It didn't faze them at all. You know, the average person, you know, I'm going to go and get killed. What? They said, Lord, whatever happens to You, we're with You. Remember Peter? He said, Lord, I will never forsake You. Now, the truth of the matter is he did, and we criticize him for it. But the truth of the matter, in his heart, he was totally devoted to Christ because he said, I'm not going to leave You, and I'm not going to go. And even though he did deny Christ, he went out and wept bitterly, and God used him, and he came back very strong, preached on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people were saved and baptized same day. Hello, are you following me? Amen. They were wholly devoted to Christ. They didn't understand it all. It didn't all make sense to them, but they just said, you know, whatever You're going to do, Christ, we're going to be with you. Whatever is going to happen, we're going with you on this thing. Whatever's going, we're doing it. They made their mistakes. They made mistakes that college kids make. They made mistakes. They did it. But you know what? Then it comes down to the whole thing. They were totally 100% devoted to Christ and said, we're going to go where you go. We're going to do what you do. We'll suffer with you. We'll do whatever you want us to do. We're with you, Lord, and we're going to go with you. And you know what? We need a generation of young people that will rise up and say, I am holy, totally dedicated to Jesus Christ. I may not understand it all. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know what's going to happen with it all. But I am going to serve God. I'm going to serve Him. I'm totally devoted to Him. Whatever happens, it happens. But I'm with Jesus Christ no matter what. We don't need a bunch of young people to say, well, I'm going to go with Jesus as long as it's good times. Everything's going smooth. No, we need people to say, you know, if I can't pay my school bill, I'm still devoted 100% with Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do what He wants me to do. It doesn't matter if I'm sick. I'm going to serve God, and I'm totally devoted to Him no matter what. I'm going to go ahead and follow Him. I don't understand. I may be persecuted. I may be made fun of. I may have a tough time, but I'm totally devoted to Jesus Christ, and I'm going to serve Him, and I'm going to keep serving Him, and nothing is going to stop me. We need a generation of young people who rise up and say, you know what? I have a no limits Christianity. We have too many people that say, Lord, I'll serve you as long as, I'll serve you as long as, I'll serve you as long as. But we need a generation of young people who say, Lord, I'm going to serve you no matter what. I'm going to serve you no matter what happens. Lord, I am totally 100% devoted to you. You tell me to go into, look, they went in, could you imagine 11 young men in here, we tell you, go to the whole world and tell them about the gospel. You know, the average person, that's impossible. I can't go to the whole world. I can't do that. But you know what the disciples did? Okay, Lord, if that's what you say, we're going to go do it. If you tell me to do it, Lord, I'm going to do it. I don't understand how it's going to work. Don't know what's going to happen. But if you say so, I'm devoted to you, and I'm going to do it. Jesus told them that they would be persecuted. He told them that they would be killed. He told them what was going to happen. They said, you know what, Lord? It doesn't matter. Whatever happens to us, we're going to serve you, Lord. We're going with you. We're going to do what you told us to do. Yeah, oh, boy, we need a generation of young people who will rise up and say, I am serving God no matter what. It does not matter. I'm serving God no matter what. Did you hear me? I'm going to serve God no matter what. Let illness come, and I'm going to serve God. Let trouble come, I'm going to serve God. Let persecution come, and I'm going to serve God. Let war come, and I'm going to serve God. Let the government come, I'm going to serve God. Let them throw me in jail, I'm going to serve God. Let them hurt me, I'm going to serve God. If I have everything, I'm going to serve God. If I have nothing, I'm going to serve God. We need a generation of young people to say, I'm holy, totally dependent on God. I'm devoted to Him. I will serve Him. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. They said, I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to go do it. We're going to go. He said, preach the gospel. I'm preaching the gospel. I'm going to go. Watch out, girls. I'm going to preach it. You better watch out. I'm preaching the gospel to the whole world, all right? I'm going to go this way, and I'm not going to stop. You say, well, people get in your way. Like these people here, they're all right in the way. What in the world? I'm going back that way. I'm preaching the gospel to every creature. Jesus told me to. You say, but it's hard. I'm totally devoted to Him. I am not changing. I'm not going back. I'm not turning away. Throw me in jail if you will, but I'm going 100% for Jesus. Elijah, I'm going 100% for Jesus. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. I don't care what's happening. You are not going to stop me. I am holy, totally devoted to Jesus Christ. I'm going to Him. Man, they moved these rows further apart back here. Good night. I'm going 100% for Jesus Christ. I'm going to get 100%. We need a generation of young people who will say, I am serving God no matter what. I'm serving God no matter what comes. You let me. I'm totally devoted to Christ. Nothing will change me, Noah. Nothing will change me, Alfredo. I am serving God. I'm going to go all the way for God. I'm wholly devoted to Jesus Christ. And these disciples were wholly devoted to Christ. They were also in better shape than me, too. That's another reason why you got to do it when you're young. Amen. Let me say, last of all, they were willing to sacrifice all for Christ. They had been with Jesus. They were totally devoted to Him. But they were willing to sacrifice whatever it took, whatever it required to accomplish what Jesus told them to do. Amen. We live in a well-to-do society. The poorest of Americans are still wealthy compared to the rest of the world. We have a comfortable Christianity. We know nothing about true sacrifice. We know very little about giving up. We think, oh my soul, I had to give up my Ford Taurus and drive a Volkswagen Bug. I'm just sacrificing for God. Nah, I'm not sacrificing for God. That's not sacrifice. You know, the thing is, when these guys said, I'm going to sacrifice, you're willing to do anything. You know what? They were martyred. They were crucified like their Savior was. They spent time in jail. They were beaten. They were outcast of society. They were in the prisons, and we read about their being in the Philippian jail, and Peter and Silas, and they're singing, and it opens up, but they had been beaten, and they were stoned, and they were beaten, and oh my soul, they were willing to sacrifice everything. Even Peter said to the Lord one time, he said, Lord, we've left all to follow you. Have you left all to follow Jesus Christ? Let me ask you, if you lost every cent that you had and they threw you in prison, would you still sing for Jesus Christ and preach for him? What if you're persecuted? These folks, oh man, they were persecuted. They were sawn asunder. You read about it in Hebrews chapter 11 and all the things that these early Christians suffered and what they did. We know nothing of sacrifice in America today. But these men were willing to sacrifice everything. They were willing to give everything for Jesus Christ. They said, we left all and we followed you, Lord. We left everything behind and we followed you. We left it all and we followed you. Oh, my soul, we need a generation of young men and women today who will say, Lord, I'll pay any price. I'll do whatever it takes. Go ahead and use me, God. Use me to do something. Whatever it costs me, I'm willing to pay it. Amen. I close with this. David Livingston, missionary to Africa. He had been in the African jungle and he'd been attacked by a lion and his one arm would not even move. He was filled with malaria and sickness from malaria. Came back to England, was trying to recruit people to come to Africa to come and preach. And he's telling the people about what God had done. And after he got done speaking to a bunch of college students one day, he was preaching to them and telling them. And afterwards, one of the young men walked up to him and here stood David Livingston with his arm mangled beside him and could not use it. Malaria and fever shaking him. And that young student looked at him and said, Dr. Livingston, I'd give everything if God would use me like he used you. And David Livingston looked at him and said, young man, that's exactly what it's cost me, everything. These 12 disciples that were college-age students gave everything for the cause of Christ. They spent time with Jesus Christ. They were wholeheartedly devoted to Jesus Christ, and nothing could shake their faith in him. And they sacrificed all. They left all for Jesus Christ. They gave it all, sacrificed everything, whatever it takes. We need a generation of young people who will rise up and say, I'm going to tell you what, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't know what God has for me, but I'm going to give up everything, and I'll pay whatever price it takes. I'll do whatever God needs me to do, and I'll pay the price to be used of God. A bunch of college-age students who walked with Jesus were totally devoted to him and sacrificed all for him. Turned this world upside down. Young people, follow their example.